Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And guess what? I have a question for you. Why are some people resistant to spirituality while other people are tuned into it? In today's broadcast, we examine the parables of the sower and the lamp under the jar. Too often these are taught separately, and as a result, I think a tribal message emerges that separates people into innies and outies. Join me now as we see beyond that which is hidden in a parable, so that we can see all that is being revealed. Namely, that the parable reflects a process and not a fixed state of being. And it takes a special kind of consciousness to see our consciousness. And that is precisely the point of the story. Hello, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things. I'm so glad to have you with me, and I'm so glad to welcome you to the program, and welcome to Sunday. Folks, it has been 31 weeks since I began this program here on the radio program. And you know what? I have to tell you, today is my last day on air. If you like this program, if you like this show, then you definitely need to go to my website, www.kevenwinder.com, K-E-V-E-N, winder.com, and look up Winder's Windshield. Sign up today. You'll get my weekly newsletter. You'll get access to all my podcasts, all these radio broadcasts, and all the content that's coming your way. That's right. I'm leaving the airways as an online pastor. It's much more conducive for me to serve online as I have for the past 6 years. And all of these recordings will still continue each and every week. We're just going to do them on the podcast. You can, of course, go to your favorite podcast tool on iTunes or however you get podcasts and look up Beyond Everything Radio. Sign up today and you will get this podcast each and every week coming right to your phone. So you can listen at your own convenience. That's the whole point of an online pastor, is I serve in a virtual space so that you can connect and find proximity to the transcendent anytime you want. Thanks so much for being a part of all of this. I'm so glad to have been here. I love this station. I love the people. They've been so good here. And I love the comments and feedback that I've had. I hope that they continue on the online environment. Okay, folks, so what are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to continue with our 16-week survey so far of Bible stories, and we're reading them again in a way so that we can hear them for the very first time. And one thing that comes up quite a bit is this parable, this story in the New Testament about the sower. And so today we're going to do that parable, and it's called Pay Attention to How You Pay Attention. That's right. That's the title of our talk today is Pay Attention to How You Pay Attention. And the parable of the sower found in Luke 8 is one of those stories that I believe has been misused in modern church and in modern religion and has created big divisions among people. It really does play right into the hands of a very dualistic and judgmental mind. And so whenever this story is read and interpreted from a person who lives in a judgmental and dualistic mind, it is really, I think, some damage takes place. However, when we read it in the original language and within the context of the parable that follows it, which is what we're going to do today, I think something bigger and something way more optimistic begins to emerge. And in case you're not familiar with the parable of the sower, it's basically a tale about a farmer who spreads seed over diverse environments, right? He's walking along, he's just throwing his seed everywhere. And it describes what happens to that seed when it falls on different terrain. So, of course, even the disciples, when they first heard him tell this story, they didn't make the connection. They didn't even understand it. And so Jesus has to come back and literally explain the meaning of the parable. And this doesn't happen a lot with parables, but it does with this one. And he tells them that he uses parables as a way of teaching all comers, in verse 10. But he emphasizes that those who understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, which is another way of saying conscious awareness, are the ones who will hear it as something more than just an agricultural tale. In other words, it's kind of like when you go to the movies with your kids and you go to a kid's movie, there's the storyline that the kids understand, and then the writers always put jokes in there for the parents. Those who understand and have more broad spectrum awareness are going to laugh at the adult jokes. The kids never catch those jokes. They go right over their heads. And that's the purpose of the parable, is to make things within the kingdom accessible. Now, often this is taught as though Jesus is trying to exclude people from hearing. In fact, when I spend a lot of time on the Reformed side of things, that's how they taught it. You know, he's trying to weed out those who could actually hear it. I'm telling you, it's his secret code, basically. And I don't think that's the case. He's simply pointing out, Jesus is, that until people possess experiential knowledge, then the deeper meaning of things, all things, is going to elude you. Now, isn't that true? Experiential knowledge is not the same as book knowledge. A theology is knowing something about God, but that is not the same as a relationship, which is knowing God, right? And this is Jesus' point throughout Scripture all along. Now, the reason he does this is because in most of these stories we've been talking about, his audiences are the religious leaders. In this case, it's a very diverse group of people. And when you have a diverse group of people with different backgrounds and different cultures and different religions and different faith systems all coming together, you kind of have to speak in a way that is more neutral and doesn't have as many trigger words, because words have meaning. And in case you haven't noticed, as an online pastor, I speak this way, and sometimes I get accused of not being religious enough or spiritual enough because I, you know, don't say the same tribal language that you might hear within the local community church. And other times it's too tribal. So, you know, you can't win them all. But just, folks, that's just part of communication. And but when Jesus explains this to all these people, this is what he says. There's a few things. There's the seed, there's the road, there's the rocks. You know, there's these other components of this parable. And I'm going to break them down for you right in order, just like Jesus did. In verse 11, Jesus talks about the seed, right? And he clearly says the seed is the word. In Greek, this is the word logos. Logos is a big concept in Scripture, right? It is the word. It is the message of God. But this is not to be confused with the Bible, although it includes the Bible. It is so much more than the Bible. You know, in John 1, it says, anarxis he ho logos, which is, means in the beginning was the word. In other words, it tells us that the word, the logos, was in the beginning with God and later became flesh. So then they're talking that Jesus was this word that become flesh. And so, yes, the logos is Jesus, and it's also more than Jesus. And John is just saying that the word is Christ, that Jesus coming in the flesh is the word, is this message, but it also predates Jesus. And, you know, physical and non-physical reality is really the heart of what the logos is. You see, if you're super scientific, then you only believe in physical reality. Anything that's non-physical, not empirically based, you would simply say doesn't exist, or we don't have an explanation for. But spirituality is all about non-physical reality, meaning that things are very, very real that are not empirically measurable. And, you know, we have to come to understand that there's this cosmic nature of the logos, the word. And this word goes back, you see it emerging all throughout the Old Testament. You see it emerging throughout the New Testament. You can see it emerging in culture, in teaching, in wisdom literature, in everywhere, right? It becomes everywhere and everything at some point. And that logos is non-physical in nature, but then became physical in Christ. That's the whole idea when Jesus is talking about this. So he says the seed, you have to understand the seed is this logos. It's this cosmic word. It's this cosmic message. And if we don't understand it from that space, then this parable becomes very tribal, right? The word simply becomes the Bible, or it becomes our very narrow definition of the gospel. And if it's a very narrow definition of the gospel, and then you have the seed, then you're on the inside. If you don't have it, then you're on the outside. Okay? The road in verse 12 is the next part. And, you know, seed thrown down on the road or the path doesn't last very long. It describes it as birds taking it, right? And that is always explained as the devil, the evil one, or an evil person, as the Greek kind of defines it. It says it takes it from their cardia, which is where we get our word cardiac from, which is in the Jewish mind, this was the idea of the mind, the inner self, the true self, the heart, the mind, the whole central person. And so he's saying this message lands on this road, and all of a sudden it's taken away from the cardia, the heart, the mind, the inner self. And I think in verse 12, the ESV translation really gets this wrong, because it translates it as a future conditional construct. It says that they may not believe and be saved, right? So in other words, Satan takes this message from them so that they can't believe and won't be saved. And the Greek truly renders this as a subjunctive. It's aorist, it's plural nominative construction, and that's all geek Bible talk for meaning that this is what it really translates. Not having believed they would be saved, right? Not having believed they would be saved. So instead of saying that they may not believe and be saved, he's saying that they just don't believe that they would be saved. That's a huge difference. And it ushers in a wave of grace, acceptance, and wideness, and inclusion, whereas the other ushers in exclusion, right? In other words, the road is that hostile place where the inner adversarial force convinces us that the message of God, and that is that God is saving the world, doesn't apply to us, right? Now, think about that for a minute. When have we believed that the message that God loves the world, that God is saving the world, doesn't apply to us? See, that's the road. That means that the heart is a hard-packed road. The seed's not taking root. Now, the next portion of this parable was the rocks, and that's verse 13, and that's the seeds that's sown down on the rocks. They take root. I mean, people hear, and they like, and they recognize the logos, this message, this word. And though they understand the message, they forsake it during difficult times, right? This is not just succumbing to temptation and falling away. You know, plants can actually thrive among rocks. I have a picture of a tree growing out of a rock that I took in Castlewood Canyon, right? What Jesus is doing is explaining how consciousness of this logo, of this message, is lost if it's not taken deep into our heart or in our soul, our cardia. And if it's known by the false self, then like Jesus says, they will believe for a while, but then it just kind of fades. And maybe that's your experience, right? Maybe there was a time in your life where you had a little stronger faith than you do right now. Maybe you're more defined by your doubts than you are by your certainty in your faith, right? This is the experience of the rock. The next is the thorn in verse 14. And he says that the seed sown among the thorns, they grow really well until they're choked out by competing forces. See, the Greek renders this, yet living under the control and cares and riches and pleasures of life, they are overwhelmed or oppressed. So that is an amazing statement. Like, here's this good word. God loves you and God is saving the world and you're a part of that. And you believe it, you receive it, and you grow along just fine until all of a sudden you get distracted. You lose your center. Your priorities shift. You don't have time for that now. And then all of a sudden it starts to wilt. It's the flower that you neglect, right? You didn't water it and now it's wilting. This is the idea, right? The thorns of life, the priorities of life, the competing forces choke out something that's amazing that's taking place in your life. And, you know, as you know, if you don't tend to our spiritual awareness, then we grow dull, which is another way of saying if we don't stay awake, we fall right to sleep. Okay. And then verse 15 talks about the last part, which is the soil, the good soil, right? Seed that's sown in good soil hears this word, this message, and it holds it deep in the cardia, it says again. Here's that word, deep in the inner self. And life and faith produce results. They bear fruit that endure, right? This is a lasting experience. So this is where we all have this inner experience, and some it just goes nowhere. Some it goes a little bit. Some it goes a little bit more, and some it takes deep root. And so this has been kind of a parable that has been used, I think, to kind of categorize people, because in our binary framework, in our mind, we love to divide people up and give them a label and a category. And I'm convinced that these diverse environments are not so much fixed and therefore applied to people in a fixed way as they are stages throughout our life through which, you know, we represent the process of spiritual formation. I mean, think about it. It's not as though the seed is thrown just once. The parable is that of the sower. And a sower, a farmer, does nothing but sow seeds. Yes, there's a certain time, but it's always putting new seed to the ground. And sowers sow seed repeatedly. So while we may be good soil today, there was probably a time, if you're honest with yourself, when you were a path or a rock or a thorn in regards to the logos, the inner message, the transforming message. See, this should really give us grace towards others, not just a critical examination or hostility towards those who seem to really underappreciate the message of God. And isn't that all of us? If we really are honest, don't we all underappreciate the message of God? Even the deepest believer that you have doesn't appreciate it like he should or she should. None of us appreciate it at all until we're ready. So there's something about this soil that has to be cultivated. And let me just tell you, the body and corpus of Scripture tells us that suffering makes us ready. Suffering cultivates the soil. So there's an aspect to which our suffering is directly linked to the kind of environment that we are. And while I don't want to get too dogmatic about that, it's something that we need to soberly, and I always use that word soberly, and people remind me of that. The reason I do is because I always helping us to wake up. And there's a moment of sobriety. There's this moment of waking up and clear-headed thinking that I think reflects what this is getting at. And you see, I'm convinced that we all become soil at some point. Now, that sounds like something that many people would want to argue with or debate or challenge. But here's why I believe that, okay? Jesus combines this parable with another parable with the word de or and or what's commonly used, furthermore. And so whenever you see a conjunction like that, you know that it is a necessary part of the story. You don't just have a conjunction and then leave out the second half. There's something that goes with it. And he goes on to say that nobody lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl in verse 16. And, you know, see, we don't put lamps under our beds. You know, when I put a lamp, it goes up high. It goes in the center of the bedroom. It doesn't go under the darkest part of the bed. And that is because light enables what the Greek says in verse 16, the mover intoers is how the Greek translated, or those entering, to see. So there's this idea that light enables those entering to see, verse 16. And so while the parable starts with a message that is presently hidden from some in verse 10, remember he says, I say that for those who can't see, right? He's talking about in verse 10 that I say this in a parable, but then Jesus is clearly saying in the after part, the part B, that it will not be hidden for long. So he's saying, yeah, it comes out like this as it's hidden, but then it's not going to be hidden for long. And so you can see in the two texts that there's clearly bookends that go together. There's nothing hidden that will not become evident, and nothing secret that will certainly not be known. Indeed, it will come into the open, verse 17. And when it comes to the message of the Logos, the Word, right? The Word of God, the message of God, that God is saving the world, this is something that will become evident to everyone. And I think that's the bigger message. And then, of course, if that is the message, then is it something that we can actually believe? Or is that too big, too good to believe? If so, we're still a thorn. Yeah, isn't that a neat message? And then there's this huge therefore. This huge therefore that joins these two parables. In verse 18, it says, pay attention to how you hear. The Greek word akou, has many meanings, of which they are, you know, to hear is one, to receive news, to understand, to obey, to pay attention. So pay attention to how you obey. You know, pay attention to how you receive this news. Pay attention to how you hear this. Pay attention to how you pay attention. Right? The point is that it's not so much that we hear or pay attention as much as it is how we pay attention. This is like a huge, huge piece of wisdom. And so often our world, especially in spiritual formation, especially in Christian education or in religion, it's all about the what to do. This is what. This is really saying, no, pay attention to how you do it. You see, if this parable was taught so that hearing some may not hear, then the whole point is to pay attention to the deeper meaning that's found everywhere. People are in various phases of waking up. I'm always telling you that, right? Paths and rocks will hear, but are not awake enough to really understand it. I mean, they're going to hear, but not really hear it. It's not going to go into the cardia. It's not going to take root. It's not going to have inner transformation. This is all the folks who just cross all the T's and dot all the I's and do everything in the process, but then they miss the heart of it, right? Thorns, they're going to hear, but they're not always going to pay attention, right? Soil is those who are awake enough to pay attention to how it pays attention. This is really driving at consciousness. Good soil is the conscious observer. And a lot of people don't really take the time to do Christian meditation. They don't take the time to do contemplation and really observe the thoughts that they're thinking. They simply think they are the thoughts that they're thinking. And if you're thinking the thought and you're observing that you're thinking the thought, then you're observing something that is not you. Did you get that? This is where I think some of the Eastern traditions offer something that's helpful. And this is where I think Jesus is also coming from. He's basically saying that soil is awake enough to pay attention to how it pays attention. And good soil is a conscious observer. Now, to hear and understand the Logos is to pay attention, right? If you get it, then this is you finding God's message. It's all about raising our consciousness. It's sown everywhere, like seeds. The Logos, the Word, is everywhere. In Proverbs 8, this voice, it's depicted as a female. It's the word of wisdom. It's calling out from the street. It's everywhere, right? This Logos. And Richard Rohr would say, Christ is the name for everything. And so if you're among rocks and thorns, but you pay attention, or you have some kind of God consciousness, then you're ultimately going to thrive. Consciousness is good soil. Consciousness is to have eyes to see. This is what Scripture is always getting at, and it's always using these words and these creative little phrases to get at this. And I'm just phrasing it in a way that modern people seem to understand it and be talking about it right now. And so waking up to the message, waking up to the Logos, the Word, this non-physical reality bearing its fruit in your life and changing your physical reality. That is the Word becoming flesh. Waking up to the message is itself the message. Did you catch that? Waking up to the message is the message. Consciousness creates the flywheel of flow in our life. And the more awake we are, the more awake we become. The less awake we are, the more likely we are to lose what we have been drifting off to sleep. Right? Isn't that what Jesus is saying? To those who have more will be given, and to those who have not, even what they have will be taken away. It's all about consciousness. It's all about consciousness. And it's not a threat. It's not a threat. It's simply the way and flow of life. You have to be awake to truly live. And Jesus came so that we would have life and life to the fullest. And that means we have to wake up. We have to become sober-minded to the realities of who we are, what our life is like, and what our needs are, and to go after them. Now, doesn't that make this parable that much richer? You know, folks, it's my prayer that we would all wake up so that we can wake up even more. And I pray that we'd wake up so that we could see the glory and work of God that is in every single atom of this universe. Because, folks, it's out there in every single atom. If you've said to yourself, man, I don't see God working in my life, I don't see how you're seeing anything, then you are asleep. I pray that we can all wake up. May we all be transformed by the awareness of God that is among us. Well, folks, in case you didn't hear at the beginning of the program, this is my last airing here on KLT Radio. I'm so glad to have been a part of this experience. So glad that you welcomed me into your radios and gave me the time to listen. If you like Beyond Everything Radio and want to continue, then you will need to go to my website, www.kevinwinder.com, sign up for Winder's Windshield, or go to your favorite podcast application and look for Beyond Everything Radio. I will continue to serve you on the online space, and each and every week you'll be getting a fresh new broadcast. I look forward to serving you in that capacity, and until then, may God bless you.